Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We come to a time in the church calendar this morning which is called Epiphany. Epiphany is a time when we celebrate the revelation of the Christ child to the Gentile world. And so let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the beginning, when God spoke to me and called me into ministry, I said yes. I said yes, not knowing where he was going to send me. I said yes, not knowing what he was going to call me to do. I said simply yes. Now, it took me 22 years to get to that point. But when I said yes unconditionally. It didn't matter. I didn't know if he would be sending me to a church, two churches, out into Africa, Central America. It didn't matter. To me, wherever God sent me, whatever God asked me to do, I would do. I simply said yes. Yes. Today in our reading, we learn about some wise men. Note that I do not say three. In the text, it does not tell us how many there are. It just says wise men from the east. It says, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Now, in this time, it was a widely held belief that when a new star appeared in the sky, some celestial body appeared that had not been there before, that it usually indicated or preceded the birth of a king. And in fact, the birth of Alexander the Great was foretold by a great comet. So here we have Eastern wise men. They are not Jewish. They don't believe in the one true and living God. They don't believe in Yahweh. They don't worship Yahweh. But what they do is they look at the stars and they divine things happening by the positions of the stars. Now, they may have been astrologers, but one thing that this text tells us very clearly is that this did not come about as an interpretation of the movement of existing stars. This says very clearly, we observed his star at its rising. In other words, it is a brand new celestial body that they are now seeing in the sky that was not there before, and have come to pay him homage. They knew he was a king. A king had been born, and they saw his star rising at the moment when he was born. We'll get into that in just a second. King Herod heard this. Now, King Herod was also not Jewish, but he was the king of that area. He was appointed by Rome to be the king of that area. And as I said before last week, he was ruthless, cruel, vicious, and he would hold on to his reign any way that he had to, including he killed his wife and his own sons in order to keep his own throne. Ruthless. And so when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, it says, and all of Jerusalem with him. Well, he was frightened because they're saying, where's this new king that was just born? He's fearing for his position on the throne. Jerusalem was fearing because, oh, what's King Herod going to do? You know? Well, calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people being the Jewish people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Herod, not being Jewish, would not be familiar with Jewish prophecy, and so he did not know. He had to ask the Jewish people where this child was to be born. Now, they all knew this prophecy. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. It's a prophecy. It's a Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You will find that very same prophecy. So the Jews knew where to find this prophecy. They knew the prophecy. They had been waiting for this prophecy to come true for hundreds of years. Now, verse 7. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. He wanted to know, well, when was the child born? When did the star actually appear? And they told him, they innocent babes, they had no idea what Herod was like. They came to him seeking knowledge. Think about the things that the wise men did not know. They came into Judea not knowing who the king was that was born, where he was born. They assumed that the Jews would know. So they asked them. As a matter of fact, they asked the king. The king didn't know. He had to ask the Jewish people. The Jewish people knew where. They didn't know when. So now King Herod had to go back to the wise men and say, well, when did you see this star? Okay. So they tell him. They told him the exact time when the star had appeared. Okay. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. He, under pretext of wanting to worship at this new king's cradle, he gets into their confidences and says, tell me where this child is so I can also go and worship him, having no intention of worshiping this child, having every intention of killing this child. He killed his own children and his wife to keep his throne. He would think nothing of killing another child. When, verse 9, when they had heard the king, they sent out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. It's a physical star. It is not a metaphorical star. It is not that they are looking into their astrology charts and following. No, this is a physical star that they see. That they see. That's so important, because in today's world, we try to diminish this whole event by saying, no, it was just, they read some charts, they read the stars. It wasn't actually a star that they saw, because everybody would see it. Well, maybe they were the only ones who were looking. Do we ever think about that? Have you ever been walking around New York City and realized how many people just look down at the concrete? It's uncanny. You know, just walking along with their hands in their pockets and can't see anybody because they're not looking at anybody in the eye. You always know who is the tourist in New York City, because they're the ones with their eyes looking up at the, well, look at the sky, look at the skyscraper. And the people who live in New York, they don't even notice the skyscrapers. They don't notice the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty because they live there. Well, it's the same with these guys. They came, they saw the star. They saw the star. The people who were there, the people who lived in darkness, will see a great light. That's what the prophet told us. And this is what it says. When they saw that the star had stopped, it stopped over the place where the child was. Note also that it refers to Jesus as a child, not as an infant. Okay, this is some 2 years after he was born. And it says, they were overwhelmed with joy on entering the house. Again, it's a house, it's not a stable. We're not witnessing the nativity scene here, okay? This is not the birth of Jesus as foretold, and then the shepherds show up, and that's great. But then the shepherds went away. This is when the wise men came, and it was some 2 years later. They came, and they entered into the house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother. Notice there's no mention of Joseph here. Now, Joseph is mentioned in verse 13, you know, so Joseph is still there. But Joseph, it's not that he's not an important part of Jesus' life. He is. But at this part of the story, it's important to note that it's the child and his mother, Mary. They knelt down and they paid him homage. They knelt down and they worshipped him. They were these wise men, not kings. They were wise men who knelt down at the foot of a child to worship him. And they opened their treasure chests. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each one having its own meaning. Gold, which signifies the royalty, the fact that Jesus is a king. But he's not just a king, he's a king of kings. Frankincense. Frankincense is an incense that is used by the priest, so it signifies his eternal priesthood. He is the high priest over all. And finally, the myrrh, which foreshadows the type of death that he would suffer for all mankind. Myrrh is a preservative used in bodies. And what an amazing thing this must have been for Mary and Joseph to have been presented with gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were not rich people. They were simple people. Joseph was a carpenter. Okay? And when they went to dedicate Jesus at the temple, you find this in Luke chapter 2, when they went to dedicate Jesus at the temple, they used two doves, which is a poor person's offering. They couldn't afford a lamb, and so they purchased two doves, and doves are very cheap. They purchased those because they couldn't afford a proper sacrifice. But that sacrifice was also accepted if you were poor. These poor people, upon being presented with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, must have been like, oh my goodness, incredible. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. They were warned in a dream. Again, God warns these people in a dream. Now, bear in mind also that these are not Jews. They are Gentiles. They're pagans. But God used them to glorify His Son. They went. They followed the star. They followed the star. We go where the light of God leads us. In my case, God's light led me to pastoring these two churches in Salem County. I didn't know where it was going to lead. I didn't know where He was going to have me go. But when I said yes, I made myself willing to go and to do whatever it was that He was calling me to do. Wherever it was that He was calling me to go. I didn't know. I just said, I'll follow that light. Follow the light of God. You know, today we're celebrating communion, Holy Communion. And I just want, as we come down to take communion, let us think on this question. Where is God's light leading me? I want you to ask that of yourself. Where is God's light leading me personally? We have to keep following that star. And like the wise men, we rejoice when we see the light over the place that God has drawn us. When I found out where I was going to be pastoring for the first time, I rejoiced. I did. I was overwhelmed. I was thanking God. You have no idea. I went and met with your PPRC, and all the way home, I kept thanking God and praising Him. I was just so overwhelmed with joy that I had come to the place where God's light had stopped. Now, I keep my eye on that light because sometimes God's light will keep going. But as we come to communion this morning, let us keep that in mind. Where is God's light leading me? And there are times when we are God's light. There are times when we are God's light. We must also be the light for those who are seeking the light. You know, a couple years ago at Pittman, we had Harvest America. And Harvest America was something that I felt very strongly about, and it came from Greg Laurie's ministry. And it was a fantastic opportunity for our church to be the light. And on that night, there was 181 people in that church. And 15 people who had never professed a belief in Jesus Christ until that very moment stood up and walked to that altar and gave their lives to Jesus Christ that night. 15 people. It was incredible. And one of those people was a man that I've known for most of his life. He was a boy who grew up with my son, Robbie. Played on the Challenger League softball team with him. And I saw him that night, and I ministered to him that night. And since then, I've seen him grow in the light of Christ. It's incredible. Incredible, the things that he does. But I'm blown away because God chose to use me as that light in that moment. We must all be the light for those who are seeking. But the question then today is, how brightly does your light shine? How brightly does your light shine? Are you attracting people to your light? We have to keep these things in mind. Where is God's light leading me? And how brightly does my light shine for others? Let us consider these things today as we take communion with our Lord. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we thank you for your light, which shines so brightly. We rejoice at seeing your light, and we rejoice when we see it stop over the place where we are sent to go. We come, we fall on our knees in front of you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. And now we pray, Lord, as we come to Holy Communion, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our light may shine brightly, so that we may draw others to you. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen.